नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। द्वादश्यां सवता तिष्ठन् मद्यान्दीनागतो नृप विजया नाम सा प्रोक्ता यस्यां जन्म विदुर्हरे द्वादश्यां सवता तिष्ठन् मद्यान्दीनागतो नृप विजया नाम सा प्रोक्ता यस्यां जन्म विदुर्हरे द्वारस्यां सवता तिष्ठन् मद्यान्दीनागतो नृप विजया नाम सा प्रोक्ता यस्यां जन्म विदुर्हरे Vaishnavis, Vitatishtan, Madam Dina. Tadasyam Savitatishtan. मद्यं दीनागतो नृप विजया नाम सा प्रोक्ता तदस्यां सविता तिष्ठन् मद्यं दीनागतो नृप Vijaya nama sa prokta Dvadasyam. On the 12th day of the moon, Savita, the sun, Atishtat, was staying. Madhyam dina gataha, on the meridian. Nripa, O King, Vijaya Nama, by the name Vijaya, Sa, that day. Prokta is called. Yasyam, on which. Janma, the appearance. Viduhu, they know. Hare, of Lord Hari. Translation. O King, when the Lord appeared on Dwadasi, the 12th day of the moon, the sun was at the meridian, as every learned scholar knows. This Dwadasi is called Vijaya. We'll go on till we reach a purport. Sankhya dundu bayo ne dur mirdanga panavanakaha chitra viditra turyanam nirgoshas tumado bhupava. Conch shells, kettle drums, drums, panavas, and anakas vibrated in concert. The sound of these and various other instruments was tumultuous. Prithas chapsaraso nrityan gandharva pravarajagu tushtuvur munayo deva manava pitaro gnaya. Being very pleased, the celestial dancing girls, apsaras, danced in jubilation. The best of the gandharvas sang songs, and the great sages, demigods, manus, pittas, and fire gods offered prayers to satisfy the Lord. Siddha vidyadhara gana sankhim purusha kinaraha charana yaksha rakshansi suparna bujagotamaha. Gayanto tiprasang santo nritanto vibhudanugaha adityasram padam kusumai samavakiran. The siddhas, vidyadharas, kimpurushas, kinaras, charanas, yakshas, rakshasas, suparnas, the best of serpents, and the followers of the demigods all showered flowers on Aditi's residence, covering the entire house, while glorifying and praising the Lord in dancing. Drishtva aditistam nijagarbha sambhavam param pumangsam mudam apavismita gurhita deham nijayoga mayaya prajapitis chahajayeti vismitaha. When Aditi saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who had appeared from her own womb, having accepted a transcendental body by his own spiritual potency, she was struck with wonder and was very happy. Upon seeing the child, Prajapati Kashyapa explained, "Jai, Jai," in great happiness and wonder. Yat tadva purbati vibhusan aryadar av yakta chid vyaktam adaryadari babhu vatinaiva sa vamano vatu sampasyatur divigatir yata nataha. The Lord appeared in his original form, with ornaments and weapons in his hands. Although this ever-existing form is not visible in the material world, he nonetheless appeared in this form. Then, in the presence of his father and mother, he assumed the form of Vamana, a Brahmana dwarf, a brahmachari, just like a theatrical actor. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki. The word nataha is significant. An actor changes dress to play different parts, but is always the same man. Similarly, as described in the Brahma Sanhita 533 and text 39, the Lord assumes many thousands and millions of forms, advaitam achutam anadim anantarupam advayam purana purusham. He is always present with innumerable incarnations, ramadi mortishu kala niyamena tishtan nanavataram akarod bhuvaneshu kintu. Nonetheless, although he appears in various incarnations, they are not different from one another. He is the same person with the same potency, the same eternity, and the same spiritual existence, but he can simultaneously assume various forms. When Vamanadeva appeared from the womb of his mother, he appeared in the form of Narayan, with four hands equipped with the necessary symbolic weapons, and then immediately transformed himself into a brahmachari, Vatu. This means that his body is not material. One who thinks that the Supreme Lord assumes a material body is not intelligent. He has to learn more about the Lord's position. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 4.9, Janmakarma chame divyam evam yoveti tatvataha. One has to understand the transcendental appearance of the Lord in his original transcendental body, Satchid Ananda Vigraha. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vanchakalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasari Gaura Bhaktivinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I first ask for the blessings and the prayers of the senior Vaishnavas that I can properly speak on the Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta that has been gently handed down to us by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Very unqualified to speak to all of you great souls today, but I'll make some attempt to serve all of you. So, in this part of chapter 18, Lord Vamanadeva, the dwarf incarnation, we read today about how the Lord has appeared and how all the different residences of the upper planetary systems are in jubilation. They're dancing and having a joyous festive occasion because of the appearance of the Supreme Lord. And Aditi saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead who appeared from her own womb. And at first the Lord appeared in his Narayan form with conch shell, discus, club, and lotus flower. He, as Srila Prabhupada says, the symbolic weapons. And we know that the conch shell and the lotus are particularly meant for the devotees. The Lord gives blessings, and even when Dhruva Maharaj was going to offer prayers, the Lord placed the conch shell on his head so that he had the ability to offer appropriate prayers to the Lord. And the club and the discus are particularly meant for the protection of the devotees and the destruction of the demons. So Vamanadeva first appeared in his Narayan form, just as Krishna also, when Krishna was born to Devaki and Vasudev, he also appeared first as Narayan in four-armed form. And this is to show that he's the Supreme Lord. He's not accepting a material body. And in the purport of today's verses, Srila Prabhupada says how the Lord assumes many thousands and millions of forms. Advaita Machuta Manadam Anantarupam Adyam Purana Purusham. And how, although he appears in various incarnations, they are not different from one another. And he says that this word Nataha is very significant. Nata and Natika. Natika means drama. Nata means theatrical actor. Srila Prabhupada translates it as theatrical actor. So just as an actor goes upon a stage, he might put on a certain dress and play different parts, but when he comes off the stage, he's still the same person. And so the Supreme Lord has many different incarnations. And the Vaishnavacharyas have tried to help us out, those who have conditioned minds. They've tried to help us categorize the different incarnations. Srila Rupa Goswami particularly describes how there's three categories: Svayam Rup, Tad Ekatma Rup, and Avesh Rup. Svayam Rup is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna Himself. Ishvara Paramakrishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarvakaranam Karanam. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Svayam Rup is that form which is not dependent on any other form, on any other incarnation. So Tad Ekatma Rup is that form which is not different from the Svayam Rup. As Srila Prabhupada states, the innumerable incarnations, they may appear differently, but they still have the same potency, the same eternity, the same spiritual existence. So the Tad Ekatma Rups, Rupas, they're the same as the Svayam Rup, but they appear differently. They might have different forms, perform different activities, and they're split into Vilas and Svangsa. Vilas form is that of Narayan in Vaikuntha, and even Vasudev in the Chaturvyuha. And then Svangsa is Matsya avatar or Kurma avatar. And the other category, so there's Svayam Rup, Tad Ekatma Rupa, and then Avesh Rup, the special jiva that's empowered by the Lord to perform a particular activity or particular pastime. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his teachings to Sanatan Goswami, has also categorized them in six ways. There's the Purusha avatars, the Leela avatars, the Guna avatars, the Manvantara avatars, the Shaktivesh avatar, and the Yuga avatars. And today, the particular avatar that we are talking about is Lord Vamanadeva, the Brahmin dwarf. And Srila Rupa Goswami describes how in this particular kalpa, this day of Lord Brahma, in this day of Lord Brahma, Vamanadeva actually appears three times. The first time he appears, he stated in the Padma Purana that there's a similar pastime as we are going to read with Bali Maharaj of somebody named Vaskali. In Vaskali, he pushes the demigods out of Svarga and he gains control. And then Vamanadeva comes and begs the land from him and also kicks him out, just like Bali Maharaj, and reestablishes the demigods. Then the next time Lord Vamanadeva appears is in the Vaivasvata Manu, Manvantara period, which is the particular Manvantara period that we are in. It's stated that there, in one day of Brahma, there's 14 Manvantara periods. So we are now in the seventh Manvantara period of Vaivasvata Manu. And we are in the particular, we're in the Manvantara period, there's 71 Divya Yugas. So we're in the 28th Divya Yuga. And this is the special yuga that Krishna and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Divya Yuga, they appear in. So in this particular pastime, Lord Vamanadeva, who begs land from Bali Maharaj, he appears in the seventh Divya Yuga of this Manvantara period. So doing the math, it's about 90 million years ago Vamanadeva appeared. And it's very interesting because when I looked up 90 million years, there was a hiker that just found a tortoise shell fossilized from 90 million years ago. So it's interesting how we might think 90 million years is so long ago, but this person found a tortoise shell. And this is, if you do the math, if we understand 7th Divya Yuga, we're in the 28th Divya Yuga, then it was 90 million years ago that Vamanadeva appeared. And so Srila Prabhupada, in the purport, he says that one who thinks that the Supreme Lord assumes a material body is not intelligent. He has to learn more about the Lord's position. So going through the categories of the different avatars, this is Srila Prabhupada's gift, that we're able to know anything about the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the different categories, the different avatars, before in our life, we didn't know anything about God. You know, what to speak of, what to eat, how to dress, how to act, how to behave. Growing up in this Western civilization, we had no clear conception of God. And so Srila Prabhupada has given us a great gift of accepting Vedic culture, how to act, how to work, how to behave. But also he's giving us entrance into knowing the Supreme Personality of Godhead's position. Now, how can we, you know, it seems very, kind of jnani-like, but we should dive deeply into the Vaishnava literature that has been given to us by our Guru Parampara and properly understand the different avatars, properly understand the different incarnations of the Supreme Lord. By better understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then we also know ourself. By knowing that we're Jivar Srupa Hoy Krishnair Nitya Das. This is the Bij mantra of our whole philosophy. Our philosophy basically starts with this mantra, Jivar Srupa Hoy Krishnair Nitya Das, that we're the eternal servant of Krishna. Now, who is Krishna and who are we? The better we understand Krishna, the better we understand ourselves. The better we understand ourselves, the better we understand Krishna. And in 1973, Srila Prabhupada in Los Angeles, I like this quote very much. Srila Prabhupada said, I see God, and therefore I offer prasad to him. Because they cannot see him, they come to me so I can open their eyes. They are blind, suffering from cataracts, so I shall operate and they will see. So this is Srila Prabhupada's mercy. And this is Guru. Tad vidi prani patena pariprasnena sevaya upatek shanti te jnanam ganinas tatva darshanaha. Yet if we want to know the absolute truth, we have to submissively surrender to one who has seen the absolute truth. Not one who theoretically knows the absolute truth or has understood a little of the absolute truth. But as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, one who has seen the truth. And so Srila Prabhupada is directly saying that he sees God and he offers prasad to him. And this is Guru, this is Srila Prabhupada's mercy that he's opening us up. We were born in the darkness of ignorance. Really, I mean, even, you know, we come to Krishna consciousness, we start living a different lifestyle and we are in a nice community, but when we go out and we see that people are really suffering, they're eating so much nonsense, they're watching so much nonsense, it's very, very sad. And so in Srimad Bhagavatam, Sri Prabhuda, he says, Tasmad gurum prapadyeta jigasu sreyam uttamam. Anyone who wants real happiness, anybody who wants the real life, they have to surrender to Guru. And Guru opens up our eyes. And even understanding the Lord, as Srila Prabhupada is stating here, one has to learn more about the Lord's position. To learn about the Lord's position, we have to try to dive deeply into the scripture. Because scripture is our praman. It's our evidence. Everything that we base our philosophy on is coming from the scripture. And Srila Rupa Goswami and Srila Jiva Goswami, they quote from Vedanta Sutra 2.1.11, Tarka Pratishthanat, stating that one cannot ascertain the absolute truth by logic, by reasoning. And so Jiva Goswami, he wrote Tattva Sandarbha, which we have translated by His Grace Gopi Puranadan Prabhu. And Jiva Goswami, taking from Rupa Goswami this verse, he goes very thoroughly how we cannot understand the Lord through tarka, logic and reasoning. We have to understand the Lord through scripture, shabda praman. And our main praman, our main evidence, is Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna. Non-different. Puran narko dhunoditaha. It's the scripture that's lighting up Kali Yuga, giving us a little bit of shelter. But we can't just force our way into understanding Srimad Bhagavatam. We have to get the mercy of Guru. We have to get the mercy of the Vaishnavas, of Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. And there's a very wonderful pastime of Devananda Pandit. Lord Chaitanya's Leela. In Navadvip, Devananda Pandit, he lived by the home of Visharada Maheshwar, the father of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And at his particular residence, every day he would explain Srimad Bhagavatam. And one day, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gauranga Mahaprabhu, he was wandering around Navadvip with all of his devotees, with all of his associates. And he came upon the residence of Devananda Pandit. And he heard Devananda Pandit speaking about Srimad Bhagavatam. And Devananda Pandit, he, from a very early age, he had made the decision that he would live his life as a sannyasi. He wanted moksha. Moksha abhilas. He was desirous of moksha. And when he would explain Srimad Bhagavatam, he never spoke about devotion. And so when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard him explaining Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started speaking in a very angry voice to his devotees. And he said that this person has not understood Srimad Bhagavatam at all. He speaks nothing of devotion. And he started explaining how Srimad Bhagavatam, the Vedas, are like yogurt. And Srimad Bhagavatam is like butter. Shukadev Goswami churned, and Maharaj Parikshit, he took that butter. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu even stated that one who sees a difference between me, my devotee, and Srimad Bhagavatam is making a grave offense. And they will never be delivered. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he became so inflamed that he was going to run and tear up the book of Devananda Pandit, tear up Srimad Bhagavatam that Devananda Pandit was reading from, and the devotees stopped him from doing that. And so sometime later, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came again to the house of Devananda Pandit, and he reminded Devananda Pandit of a particular time where he made a grave offense to Srivas Thakur. Srivas Thakur being Mahabhagavat, one day he was passing by and he heard Devananda speaking on Srimad Bhagavatam. And every shloka in Srimad Bhagavatam, if we have the proper adhikar, if we have the proper qualification, in each verse and every single word, there's nectar. There's indescribable nectar in Srimad Bhagavatam. Because we're attached to material things, we might not experience it now. But Mahabhagavats like Srivas Thakur, divine associates of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he sat down. Even Devananda wasn't speaking properly on Srimad Bhagavatam. Just listening to the verses, Srivas Thakur started crying and he started sighing very deeply, exhibiting ecstatic symptoms. And Devananda's students, they were trying to hear Devananda speak, but they thought that Srivas Thakur was this, why is he sitting here crying and acting like this? And so they drug him out of the place where Devananda was speaking. They dragged him out and left him in the street. And he was unconscious because he was so absorbed in Srimad Bhagavatam. And because Devananda had no devotion, his students didn't have any devotion, so they could not understand who a Mahabhagavat was. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was chastising Devananda Pandit, he said that even the Ganga River, wants to see and associate with Srivas Thakur. That's the Mahabhagavat. Even the Ganga wants to go and take shelter of Srivas Thakur. And we understand that Devananda, he was chastised very severely by the Lord. But later on, he was able to understand the purport of Srimad Bhagavatam by serving Vakeshwar Pandit. Vakeshwar Pandit, we know, would dance for 71 hours, 72 hours. And he would dance and he would dance and he would dance. And Devananda, he ended up getting the association of Vakeshwar Pandit. And by serving Vakeshwar, he would make a circle and he would keep everybody back from disturbing Vakeshwar's dancing. And even if Vakeshwar fell down in the dust, then Devananda, he would go and he would wipe off the sweat and the dirt from Vakeshvara's body. And so by serving a Vaishnav, he was able to understand the purport of Srimad Bhagavatam. Susru sro sadadhanasya vasudeva kataruchi sanmatsevya vipraha punya tirta nishevana. The devotees are like holy tirtas, and by serving them, we get a vasudev kataruchi. We get a taste for hearing and chanting about the Lord. And that's the way to properly enter into Srimad Bhagavatam, properly enter into the scriptures. One time when I went to India, and I had a godbrother, and he asked my Guru Maharaj, he wanted to take Bhakti Shastri course. And my Guru Maharaj said, well, what services will you be doing? And my godbrother said, well, I'm just going to be doing Bhakti Shastri. That's all I'm going to be doing. I'm just going to be doing Bhakti Shastri. And my Guru Maharaj said, no, if you're going to be doing Bhakti Shastri, you have to be doing practical service also. Because when we study, when we hear, when we chant, then our service, our menial services, that's where we realize what we've heard. That's where we realize what we've read. That's where we realize what we've been studying. It's not that we just make ourselves jnanis and we study, 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 but we should engage in practical service also. And that's how we actually try to repay our debt to Srila Prabhupada and to our Guru. Because we have a great debt. As stated before, we were born in the darkness of ignorance. And we're able to enter into Srimad Bhagavatam. We're able to enter into devotional life by the mercy of Vaishnavas and Guru and Srila Prabhupada. And so we have a great debt that we can, when we really understand, we cannot fully repay this debt. It's an impossible activity to try and repay the debt to Srila Prabhupada. But there's a formula. And the formula is we serve the great souls, we get a taste for hearing and chanting, and we cleanse our hearts. And then we help others try to engage in the same formula. And so we try to repay the debt of that we owe to Srila Prabhupada by helping Srila Prabhupada and our Guru and the senior Vaishnav spread Krishna consciousness. And so, in today's verse, Janma Karma Chame Divyam Yevam Yoveti Tatvataha. So one who understands the transcendental appearance of the Lord in his original transcendental body, he will never take birth again. And so we have a great gift that's given to us by Srila Prabhupada. And David Prabhu has just gifted my wife and I Yamuna Devi's new book, her biography. And she speaks very much about this, how Srila Prabhupada gave us such a great gift. All we have to do is accept it. And by accepting it, we try to serve Srila Prabhupada and be grateful, try to repay the debt. So I'll stop here if there's any comments or questions. Bhakta Eric Prabhu.
Thank you for a wonderful class. I just had a question about kind of like, you know, at the end, you're talking about how one should do some other kind of service in order to understand Shastra. But, you know, according to, again, in the Bhagavad Gita, kind of at the end, there's a verse that talks about, I can't remember the verse right now, but, you know, how one who hears this conversation between Krishna and Arjuna worships Krishna by his intelligence. I mean, depending on the mentality, couldn't studying Shastra also be a form of service?
It can be a form of service, but how our Vaishnava Acharyas have taught us is that studying has to be backed up by practical service. And a nice example of this is yesterday was the disappearance day of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. And there was one professor who came and he wanted to study and ask Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur many questions. And so rather than sit down with him and answer all of his questions, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur sent him to clean some pots that they were using in the kitchen. And so by cleansing the pots that they were using in the kitchen, the professor, who had so many questions going on in his mind, they were naturally answered by performing that menial service. And then he was able to go back to Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur and actually surrender unto his lotus feet. Also, in a nice pastime is with Ramanujacharya. And there was one Dasarati who was very renowned as being a great scholar. And he wanted to know the essence of Bhagavad Gita. And so Ramanujacharya, he actually sent him to do menial services for one of his disciples' wives. And so by cooking and cleaning, he was able to understand the essence of Bhagavad Gita. And even in Bhagavad Gita, the last statement of the Lord is man mana bhavamad bhaktam, thinking of the Lord, paying obeisances to the Lord. So it is a physical thing, paying obeisances to the Lord. And even as Svavas Prabhu mentioned, it was Archita Prabhu yesterday that mentioned Krishnadas Babaji, who is able to stay in the temple and chant all day long. And yet, so when the others, they were asked to do the same thing, stay in the temple and chant all day long, they couldn't. So some of us, we're able to study and use our intelligence, but at the same time, this is a preaching mission. This is a preaching society. And everything that we do is connected to preaching devotional service and Sankirtan. So it's, and just how Srila Prabhupada set up the society, you know, even Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he discouraged many of his disciples from reading the Upanishads and even reading some of the Gaudiya Vaishnava literature, because they'll just take it as a jnani exercise. They won't really dive into devotion. Amala Bhakta Prabhu might want to add to that.
Thank you for a very wonderful class. Nice examples, nice explanations. In regard to the point that was just, not the one, but the point that Bhakta Eric was asking, the biggest fear and the biggest threat to a devotee who absorbs himself exclusively and totally in jnana or in lots of knowledge cultivation is that the more knowledge you acquire without, as you were just nicely mentioning, without surrendering, without some sense of activities which breeds a sense of humility or modesty or insignificance or smallness. If you don't do that, what happens is that the more knowledge you begin to cultivate, you begin to actually to think you're very learned, you're very smart, you're very knowledgeable, beyond and above what most people have, what most devotees have. And that sense of superiority, which is false, of course, but that false sense of superiority, it begins to disqualify us. Because as soon as you begin to think you're large, you're high, you're great, you're better, then you're back in the I am the Lord of all I survey mentality, because that mentality basically is I'm big, you're small. And that's a materialistic mentality. And when we have such a materialistic mentality, we then become unqualified, this is the rub or the irony, to really understand the jnani that we're receiving. You can receive it on a superficial level, but to receive it and understand it on a deeper, profound level, the heart must become pure. So therefore, as your guru so nicely and rightly mentioned, by putting ourselves in this humble position, thinking I am insignificant, I'm worthless, I really have no prestige, I have no glory, I have no anything, and I'm not even worthy of doing this menial service, but by the grace of the Supreme Lord, I'm being allowed to do this. It's not a right, it's rather a grace. So having this grace, what happens is that one then becomes qualified to actually understand the jnana and higher levels of it, rather than being disqualified through the arrogance, through the vanity, through the sense of self-importance and all that breeds. So that was my main point. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.